And welcome to episode 2 of the Stress of Smiles, SOS, Save Our
Shit. Is that what it stands for?
Here at the Stress of Smiles.
Does it stand for saving?
What's that?
Or did you just make that up?
Oh, SOS stands for, well, it really stands for Save Our Ship.
Oh, but you're saying
like
save
if you're
our
stranded
shit.
At sea.
Sorry.
If you are stranded at sea in Morse code, you type out.
Yeah, and that's what we're doing.
You know, like,
that's
SOS,
what we're doing.
SOS, save our. Yeah, I changed it to
awesome.
Shit. So yeah, welcome to episode 2. As you recall, Z, from episode 1,
yes.
We shared our journeys. We talked a little bit about what's helped us in our journeys. We talked about staying in dentistry. We talked about leaving dentistry. We talked about how kooky this career can be. And there was I had a lot of friends that said it resonated with them and that they enjoyed us being super open about like therapy and other things that we've done in order to help get our heads in the right space. One of the most common questions I got, though, since our first episode was, how do you know a dentist in Australia? And I was like, well, I'm pretty well, I'm just well
that's
connected.
The thing. I just know people.
Yeah. Z and I met, we were both part of a coaching class, a cohort, and still are. And it's just some wonderful, you know, some life coaching on getting to know yourself, getting to know how would you explain it? Like, it's like 50 miles wide and 50 miles deep.
I would say it is about work and your career, like finding almost like your life path, right? But it goes so much deeper than that, because when you kind of look into all the limiting beliefs and stories and trying to figure that out, it goes beyond just what you do in the world. So that is how we met, and that is how Frank knows me, and a dentist in Australia.
That's right. And I was just like, we should talk more about this. So
here we are.
Here we are. Ready to come at you. So episode 2, we wanted to, and we'll dedicate a whole entire episode of the benefits of sinking your teeth into like a coaching program like what we did, called the Transformation School. And we will dedicate an episode to like talking about that. Like, how did it help? What do you mean? Back it up. What do you mean something helped you like find your career path or solidify? Like in my case, it solidified my career path or solidified like, oh, okay, I'm doing the shit that lights me up.
And the differences.
We'll talk about
therapy
that. We'll get there.
But yeah, for a later episode.
And coaching and therapy are.
Oh, yeah.
Very different things. But. One thing helped the other, like coaching, put going to therapy on an exponentially
better path. It definitely gave it so much more direction. It almost like, instead of me just slowly biking along with a push bike, it's like strapped a rocket.
Okay.
And blasted me in the direction that I wanted to go. That's how I would say. But, you know, really scary if you haven't even been on the bike to go on the rocket. So, you know?
Uh-huh. That was a good analogy. So I want to talk mostly about just getting our heads right. You know, going into the office, going into patient care, team interaction, interacting with you know, between your team, your patients, your vendors, your lab, yourself, you know, there's a lot of different dynamics at play there. And I want to talk a little bit about what works, at least I could speak to what works for me with like managing my expectations, managing the expectations of my team. But the real thing is managing the stressful, the stressful part of dentistry. For some, it is team, managing them. For others, it's like managing patient expectations. And like, you have all these different stressors that come up together, and it can turn into quite a shitstorm. So I want to talk about that. And Azeed, we want to talk about the red flags that come up of like, oh shit, should I be treating this patient? How do you manage your team, Azeed? I mean, when it's like, you're the doc, you know, in the office, you got a team you meet with in the morning, and what trips your trigger?
Things that trip my trigger, I think we share this one, is when things don't go right or patients aren't happy. If I come in and that's kind of like the first thing on the bill, that, you know, this person's complained of this, this person's complained of that, that trips my trigger. And I guess that's not so much team related. I'm deviating from your question. Well, okay.
No, it can be. Because if team member whoever, they don't even say good morning, and they say, Dr.
This person
Z,
called.
You know, Susie from last week is still sensitive from her crown.
That's what I'm talking about.
That will set my day off in a little bit of a different direction than I would like. And I got to work harder. Yeah. Like, oh, yeah. You said at the top of the bill.
If that's what I just come in and then you slam me with Susie. Oh, boy.
Now you got a pissed Z on your hands.
It definitely changes the mood. And I guess also in terms of team, maybe a big one is the vibe, the energy of the team. You know, how everyone's like showed up that day. And if people are upset because, you know, things were left in Steri the day before, or, you know, someone hasn't marked or checked this lab work, or, you know, any resentment in the team by lack of flow in the team, that's a stressor, because that just feels like more work for me to have to smooth out.
That's good. Do you have different roles? Do you have different roles in your office? Like, I mean, you have like, you know, you have your assistants.
We have a manager.
You have your patient representatives or front desk.
Assistant manager. I guess like senior assistants. It's probably about it. Yeah, we call them receptionists. Yeah.
Nice.
And dentists.
And?
Yeah.
And you. So you're managing your team. Do they all kind of look to you for like?
I mean, it, no.
For everything in the office?
No,
for
they
guidance,
would look to the manager
direction?
For a lot of things. What about you?
They mostly know now. Yeah. I mean, it didn't start off that way. And I started off as a little, because so with this new practice style between myself and my business partner, one dental assistant, like we started this like scratch practice out of my friend's hygiene room. And while the real office was getting built, but I was like, let's get started. So we leased my friend's hygiene room in the middle of the pandemic. And so since then I established like, okay, I have full control over everything clinical, everything that's going on here. I'm going to create my own system. So, and then as we opened, I had to unwind all this control. So I think that we're a little bit control crazy, you know, as dentists. And I'm super into, you know, I want to know everything about every patient. I can't, when I'm up by the front desk and I hear the phone ring, I'm like peering over the damn phone to see who's calling. Like, who is that? Oh, cool. So-and-so is calling. So I have to unravel my control. And for a while, some of the triggers were like, you know, if there's, so I'm in a heavily, heavy surgery practice, right? Well, and complex and and cross though, and stuff breaks and stuff happens and people want to know what's regular, what's abnormal, and they'll call. And because it got to be like, you know, you get these calls that were just like really benign and some were more involved. And it got to a place where I was getting triggered by just hearing the phone ring. I'm like, oh God, the phone's ringing. Who could it be? Oh, it's probably Mrs. Jones. She probably, you know, I would get in this like funk. But with some good therapy, some good coaching, obviously, it doesn't affect me anymore. I'm like, yes, phone, please ring. Keep going. But I had to really enroll my team, though, in how I operate so everything can go smooth. So, yeah, that's one of the big rules. I walk in the door, or anyone else on my team walks in the door. Since it's me, I'm not special. It's just,
yes.
We always say good morning. How's it going? Ask about something. And then we get to the day. You know, my front desk patient coordinator, she'll be like, hey, I got a few things for you later on. You want to knock them out later? You want to knock them out now? None of them are emergencies. I just have some questions. And it used to be in my mind, we'd go to like the worst place. Like, don't tell me now because this is going to be awful. No, she's like, nothing's crazy. I'll tell you. We'll talk later. But they know. They know, like, if I'm in a heavy surgery, don't come at me with someone on the phone talking about, like, something got loose or...
That's it.
I'm focusing.
That's awesome. That's awesome.
You know, so team...
I think it's interesting.
It's interesting that
you talk about the control. And I think that this is really common with dentists, and a lot of assistants have mentioned to me. Whereas I feel like I'm the opposite. I'm like, I want to do as little as possible. If I can train you to do something for me, great. If you can answer the question for me, great. I want to talk to Mrs. Jones. I'm like, in the future, this is the scenario. The patient has said XYZ, you know, they have this kind of pain. It's likely to be this, or book them with this, or tell them this. If you're not sure, then ask me. So like with every conversation, I'm like, this is what I said. Do you have any questions? Do you think you could manage this call moving forward? I don't want to talk to them. So it's funny, but I think that
absolutely
also is a coping mechanism because of all the stresses, right? I feel like that I've gone the opposite way of like, if I can palm off as much as possible, then that can alleviate my mental load. Yeah, I think it does work.
Does it work?
Yeah.
Nice. I try to pawn off as much as I can, but then I creep back in. I crawl my way back into the control center.
You just like, quietly.
And I'm trying to like, but my team, like I got really, really lucky.
That's awesome.
With the team I have. Like, they're so, it wasn't always like that, but they're so good. They can handle me in good time, you know, in good times or in bad times, you know, like they're just, they can read me pretty good. Not that they even have to, they just do. Like, we all feed off each other. Like, I'm very comfortable, like with my office manager today, she was doing something in my office when I was like reading a CT or doing notes. And I just looked up. I was like, why are you in here with me? Get like, And she's like, I don't know, let's just hang it with you.
But I will leave.
She's like, get out of here. But like, I can talk to her like that and she's not going to go, you know, get upset or anything.
Yeah.
We just have that dynamic. I surrounded myself with people that I truly love to be around.
Well, and I think that's important. That's important.
Yeah,
you work very closely with each other. It's very high stress. You're dealing with a lot of anxious people. And I think people can feel the energy of the practice and the relationships as well. Yeah.
I think so. Like feeling like the vibes in the office. What would that be? Would that be claircognizance?
I think that's the knowing.
I don't know.
I don't know. Is there a feeling one? I don't know.
Oh, I don't know.
Maybe.
But it's like
Yeah.
I think people can sense the vibes. So the more authentic that you are with yourself, I think even patients will sense it. So you set your expectations with like your team and they know, you know, so in your case, they're hands off. Your team's like,
Yeah.
We got it. Don't even worry about it. You'll just see that shit on the schedule and you'll deal with it then.
Don't sweat it.
Don't sweat it.
She doesn't need to know unless it's, you know, urgent.
So what about like, so when patients come in and you know, there's patients that present with certain red flags.
This one took me. Yeah.
And you know, like, I got to up my expectation management game on this patient.
This took me a long time to learn. I mean, I think I learned quickly the don't overpromise, underdeliver. So, yeah, I mean, that one's pretty straightforward. But I think managing not even the expectations but the red flags, what I didn't realize to begin with was I don't need to see them. Like, I just felt like if a patient fell into my lap, even if we didn't gel, even if they were clearly not really respecting what my professional opinion was, if they were rude or all of the things, I felt like I still had to like just deal with that and see them. But now I know, you know, maybe I'm not the best fit for that patient. And I can tell them that.
So you tell them, you don't do the sneaky thing and price them out.
What?
Oh, this root canal and crown. Oh, it's like $50,000. Sorry.
I'm just very good. So that's what.
How do you
want to
pay?
You?
No, you can't do that.
That's hilarious.
So you manage them. So you're pretty good.
Yeah,
at this.
I didn't know that.
Everybody.
No one told me
but
that.
Wanna,
you don't have to take on anybody. I thought that you just had to take on everybody.
You're interviewing the patient as much as they're
if not
interviewing
more.
You. If not more, do I want to work with you? Do I want to walk down this damn journey with you? So what red flags are you kind of keeping your eyes out for?
The biggest one is probably when they come in and they blame everything on the previous dentist and they have absolutely no accountability in their own actions. You know, in what it has led to.
Yeah
that's
I mean, that's
the biggest one for me. And it's almost like even if something isn't going wrong, it's like they're looking for something to go wrong. You know, the tiniest thing to go wrong and then blame it on you. That is probably the biggest one. That patient.
Yeah, that's a humongous red flag. Now, if there's any patient listening, let me set this up a little bit. So you have to understand 80% of patients are fine. They're receptive. They're understanding. They understand the gist. They understand how dentistry works. They understand that, you know, you're a well-respected professional in this field. Blah, blah, blah. Then there's this 20% that are just, they're haunted by their former experiences, probably as a child, and how it presents is usually like anxiety mind.
I think the distrust. Angry mind,
or their
the distrust
they have trouble.
For us. They think that like we're out to get them or something. It's I'm just here to help you. But yes.
You're not out to get them?
I'm out to get ya. Well, look out.
I'm
out to get ya. But doing a root canal.
That was the most Australian thing you said. I'm out to get you. I'm out to get you. That's not how it goes. So I would like to share. A colleague of mine, or I would say a friend, but like a colleague of mine, Ivan Chichon. He's also known online as like the implant ninja. He wrote like a handful
That's
of books
awesome.
That are actually really fun to read. And one of them is called like this All NX like handbook. So on one of the pages, I have this in a couple of my lectures too. One of the pages is potential red flags for treating like, whether it's like dentures or full arch patients. And it is, there are a handful of them on here that are red flags, and you have to hear the red flag and then determine
right.
how you want to manage the patient.
No,
it doesn't mean don't treat them. It just means, hey, proceed with caution. And one of my favorite ones is like, this one happened to me today. So I came to you because I want it perfect. Or so-and-so said, when you do it, it's perfect.
Red
flag. There's no such thing. But I had a patient today who said, I want it perfect. And we're so close to being like done with everything. Said, I want it to be perfect. It's like, so I will now in patient expectation management mode, I'm like, did you just say the P word? With like a smirk on my face. And they're like, well, what do you mean? I was like, you just said perfect. My perfect and your perfect
are you going to go into
way
full...
off. What do you mean perfect?
Full philosophy mode of deconstruct what perfect is. Yeah. Yeah.
I deconstruct that.
It's necessary.
If it mentioned in a consult,
it's necessary.
I time
sure.
out right there.
Yeah.
It's like, wait a minute. If another red flag is usually like, well, you know, Dr. Caputo said he would do this for like $5,000 less. So why don't you just match
why
that?
Why don't you just see Dr. Caputo?
Well, I want to see you.
Well,
you're nicer.
Oh, he doesn't even use topical. You should see me. You should see me.
I use topical. But, so that was a red flag. Another one that he had in this book was, be on the lookout for mental illness. That's controlled or uncontrolled.
Definitely not.
Just saying like, hey, that's where I change my conversation into. Hey, there is parts of this that can be psychologically challenging.
It's more into actually addressing it.
In the general practice setting, it could be a denture.
You have to address it and you have to speak to them about what I always actually like to open the conversation in that realm of like what it is that is potentially going to be triggering for them, because I can manage that better if I know. Whereas
You dive right in.
Yeah, yeah.
Another one is...
Yeah,
some of them
I
are
mean,
just obvious.
Maybe not obvious to everyone. Could
A patient who points to a tooth in their mouth and describes feeling agony over an aesthetic detail that's not even noticeable or it's truly inconsequential.
I am lucky enough to not have any experience dealing with a patient like this. Have you? Agony? Yeah, that's a lot. Wow.
Yes.
Wow.
I have. Like, the way a tooth is shaped, and granted, like, we weren't at the final stage yet of their prosthetics, but sure, like, they, I can't even think about anything else. This is all that's keeping me up. And then, like, I tried the bullshit of, like, you know, I put the TV screen of their old teeth up on there, and I look up at the screen. That's where you came from. Look where you are. Like, changing that's not going to make a difference. You know, I feel sorry for anyone, like, in, you know, when you're in that high-end cosmetic realm, like, this stuff, these are red flags that you for probably sure. keep a really big eye out for. The other ones are, you know, if there's someone that's lacking motivation to care for, like, their health, someone, you know, can you, Dr. Z, can you do these crown and bridges and keep me in temps for, you know, 6 months to a year, no. and then I'll come back and get the real ones done later. Those are big red flags.
We will not be doing that.
But I don't know if I care as much about, like, that I hate the dentist red flag.
That's not a red flag to me. That's just general population.
I think it's a nervous tick.
Yeah. No, that I don't think that that's a red flag. But yeah, those other ones. Yeah. I think it's the unrealistic expectations, right? Their unrealistic expectations is a big red flag. Like, if you can start to.
Yes. That the denture is going to be like teeth.
And maybe sometimes, like, what also I found in time I've learned is you don't always know that they have unrealistic expectations until you start to talk about what their expectations are.
So who has time for this? Who sets aside the time to talk about it? When do you do
probably
this?
Probably at, like, the treatment planning stage, right? When we're going through the options.
Okay. Do you do a comp exam first and then
depending
back for like a consult?
The extent of the treatment.
Yeah. If it's like a single tooth, whatever.
But if it's, you know, multiple phases
comprehensive,
of treatment. For sure.
Yeah.
Got to bring them back.
You got to bring them
back.
Oh,
yeah.
You're going to talk it all out.
Sitting down doing some talking.
Absolutely. So what I do is... We do, like, if it's a comprehensive plan, like, it's not just like a single implant, it's a full arch or it's a denture case, whatever it might be. My first visit with you is like, so I always do the consult. We do the consult, we'll talk for a little bit, but you hang out and talk with my team about your options, finances, all that stuff. Then you and I, once you pay, we do an intake. So I'll do an intake and I'm gathering all the data, clinical data. You know, all the stuff, periodontal data, I gather photos, and then I set aside, like, the vast majority of the appointment to talk about the journey, talk about what it's going to be like, talk about that these will never be like teeth, they're going to be bulky, you might gag a little bit, you're going to talk funny, it's not going to be right. So I go over that because I want them to leave thinking this is going to be miserable. But I know, like, if anyone's going to do the best job at it, it's going to be him.
That is definitely
that's kind of the mindset.
That is where you want to take them because that is the truth. And they don't know that. They don't always come in knowing that. Yeah, they don't
they have no
see
idea.
What we see. So it's not fair to them to assume that they know.
Right.
Yeah.
So you got to spend that time. I'd rather spend the time now than day after day of dealing with, you know.
That's stress.
Like poorly managed expectations, patience.
That can be like, you know, a year long head banging against the wall situation. Yeah.
Yeah. So we've successfully managed our teams. We've managed our patients.
And now for the biggest one.
Who's ourselves. Left to manage?
Bum, bum, bum.
So Dr. Z, how do you manage yourself?
I think that's potentially
what
the hardest
What do you do?
One. What do you think, Frank?
I'm not fucking leaving this career. That's how I'm managing my shit. No. I'm out of here.
I think that's the most challenging one. What was your experience?
It depends. I think managing yourself has to do with what you struggle with, right? Like, that's going to determine how you, like, some people are insanely good at managing patients and teams, but not good at managing themselves. Maybe they're have a people pleaser mentality. And so that's a weak fall. Or maybe they're really good at handling themselves, but maybe with their team, they're just not always the most communicative with them.
I think that's a great thing to highlight.
Yeah, you know, you could be the best dentist in the world, but you don't say shit.
I think that's a great thing to highlight.
What's that?
Yeah, like look at
it's a good thing
maybe where your gaps are. Like, where are you succeeding at managing, and where are you maybe falling short? And if you address the thing that's maybe falling short, that could really reduce your stresses and take you away from the burnout path. Yeah.
That's right. One of my good buddies that I want to have him talk with us a little bit, he just got back from, I think he was starting to go down that burnout path.
Pre-game. As we all do, you know.
And he just did a medical mission in Ghana.
Definitely get this guy on.
And he came back and he was like, oh, I, that was probably the most fulfilling thing in dentistry I've ever done. And he's like very revitalized after that. He came back and he's like, wow, people here are a little bit on the spoiled side when it comes to like how they're treated.
I would have to agree. Yeah.
But we're not here. I don't think we're here to like solve all the world's problems or solve your problems, but I just think it's a great place to talk it out and just like, where are the blind spots? Where are you needing some coaching or help and or therapy or
because
whatever
it's not,
it might be?
There's not enough. I think like for the amount of people that are struggling with it, there's not so many people talking about it or sharing how they've gotten through it. Like, there seems to be an imbalance, you know?
No, not at all. No, it's chest puffed out. These are my Instagram posts of like the best cases I've ever done. Now, I'm guilty of that too. Like, you look at my freaking Instagram page, it is like these amazing cases where like, oh, yeah, I didn't show, like, the 7 months of hard-ass work I had to do to get there. And the patient hand-holding and all this
and,
shit.
You know, the mental
picture.
Spiraling that you went down through that journey. That shit is not on Instagram.
That's right. Yeah, the draining spiral. I'm going to start, though. Wouldn't that be good to start? Be like, hey, here's how the case came out. But you're never going to guess how much fun I had. Spiraling out of
that. That's what we're doing here, because I just don't think that that's talked about enough. But it is.
That's the best thing I think we've talked about tonight.
With every amazing case that
that's
you post, we're challenging you to give us a little glimpse into your spiral.
Give me a disclaimer. Give me the asterisk at the bottom that was like, oh, yeah, this took 3 years for the patient to actually say yes to do. And then when we started, it was a shitstorm between 4 different try-ins, 3 different impressions,
and a couple wax-ups. They
we
had
got
this
there.
Problem. Like, they had that problem.
I finally cemented them, and then the patient cried.
And then I went home and cried.
He hated them,
and then?
And I had to cut them all off. Yeah. But no, look at this picture.
Look at what I did.
This is great.
Yeah.
That's such a good idea. That is a rule when I lecture. That's a rule. Every lecture begins with somewhere that I could have done something better. Like when I'm teaching surgery, I'm like, hey, look at this flap design. That was not the smartest flap design because I did, you know, now it's pigeonholed me into doing like something like this.
I think that's great because that is actually something that I suffered with. with burnout in dentistry is the comparison, because people do have all these amazing photos of their cases and you think that that is the general day-to-day standard. No, they've cherry-picked those cases to put on their Instagram. And then that comparison, that was not great for me personally. Oh, I can't hear you anymore, Frank. Oh, something happened. Nah. Can you hear me? Your microphone's not lighting up anymore. Hey, Frank, do you have an on-off button on your microphone? Me being a smarter. Nothing. Oh, I can hear you now. Yeah. And that was a sign. Yeah, that was the universe saying, wrap it up. We got all the good shit. You got nothing left good to say today. Yeah, I think it's good. I have to say, the editing is very good. Yeah. I say that a lot. It's just the accent. Awesome. All right.